joy to be in the Lord's house tonight. Man, the worship, wasn't it a blessing? Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We could just take recess and shout a little while on all that. Magnify his name. Amen. That's what we came to do, to praise him, to exalt him, to lift him up in praise and adoration. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 11. John chapter number 11, very familiar place in the Word of God. I do not remember sometimes where I preach, what I preach, and sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not. Amen, I guess. I remember Brother Wayne Henderson's preaching revival for us back in 1985. And he preached on a Wednesday night, and on a Thursday night, he come back to the pulpit and preached the exact same message. Same text, same outline, same everything, same examples, same everything, amen. And so I got up before the church and I said, if God sent two messages like that, we must need something, amen. Brother Wayne said, I didn't preach that message last night. I said, you preached the exact same message, amen. And he said, that must be God, because there ain't no other way that could happen, amen. So God knows what we need, amen. I remember several years, maybe two or three years ago, I preached a message, I believe, out of the Old Testament, when God had the man of God turn back the 30-some thousand soldiers so he could take the 300 and win the battle. God does unusual things sometimes. And most of the time when God works a miracle, we're going to have to be involved in it somewhere. And so God does want to work miracles in our lives. He wants to work miracles in our church. And in this chapter, he worked a miracle. We know the story is about Lazarus, who was sick. They sent word for Jesus, and Jesus did not come. After a while, Jesus began to go and say he was going to go in that direction. Of course, Thomas and others thought, why? You could be so close to Jerusalem, they'll probably kill you there because Herod, of course, hates you and others, and you'll probably lose your life, so we'll just go there to die with you. Well, that wasn't what he was going there at that time for, amen. But the Bible starts off the story, let's look, if you will, in verse number 14. Jesus has told them that Lazarus sleepeth. So they thought that if he's sleeping, then he must be getting better. But the Bible says in verse 14, Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. The Lord doesn't always do things on our timetable. As a matter of fact, he doesn't always do things the way we think he's going to do things. Just like the song that we just heard, amen, a few minutes ago. The Lord does exactly what we need, and he knows what we need better than we know what we need. The Bible says we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I look back over many years of serving the Lord, and thank God some of my prayers were not answered, amen. Thank God he said no. He didn't even listen to some of my prayers. He just said, I've got other plans, amen. But I'm glad the Lord knows best. And the Lord said in verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes I was not there. Isn't it something if the Lord was to do everything we ask, we would no doubt be steering ourselves to the desires of our flesh and not desires of our spirit. And so the Lord says, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there. He said, for your sakes. To the intent ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. So Thomas is in the next verse, and Thomas then said, Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So they are looking at the things unknowing what Jesus is planning to do. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. How many times have we felt, boy, if the Lord had did this or that, this thing would be not the same. It would be different, amen. But she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, really Jesus didn't have to be there in person. Amen. Jesus could have spoke from where he was. Everything would have been exactly like he spoke it. So she said, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. What a strong statement of faith she made. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall live, or thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I'm glad every believer has that promise. They might not understand all the Bible that describes how the rapture is going to be, amen. All the old saints of God believe one thing, we're all going to heaven when we get checked out of here, amen. So she may have not have known all that there was going to be in the revelation. Certainly it had not been written. But she knew that the saints of God would rise again. You can go to the funeral of your loved ones who are saved and say, I know they're going to rise again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What a promise we have. I mentioned last night the writings of Paul are so important, even to the carnal church of Corinth, because he wrote so many things that we don't find anywhere else. Only by Paul's writing do we understand to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. If we did not have that statement, those who believe in soul sleep could not be refuted. But that statement alone sets the stage for where the saints of God are right now that's died in the Lord. They're with the Lord, amen. And thank God for those simple truths that are unfolded to us in the Word of God, and we appreciate every one of them. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She felt the exact same way. If you'd have just been here, Lazarus would have not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Martha is almost saying, Lord, it's too late for you to do anything. It's too late for you to intervene in this situation. All the sorrow of our souls are inside that tomb. The Bible says it was a cave and a stone was laid upon the face of it. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Jesus said, do you not want to see the glory of God? Would you like to see the glory of God? How many of us would like to see the glory of God? See God do miraculous things. See God do the supernatural. We're almost to a place we don't even expect God to do anything supernatural. We think the situation's too bad. We think the world has declined to such a state God can't even do anything. Amen. The Bible says, he said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Let's pray and ask God to help. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before your throne again tonight, asking you for the assistance and strength and help that only the Holy Ghost can give. We know in ourselves we can do nothing. Without you, we are nothing. Lord, without the instruction and guidance of the Holy Ghost, nothing can be done in this service. I pray tonight, Lord, for your touch upon my life, upon my mind, illuminate my thoughts. Lord, may I know exactly what you'd have me to say and exactly what you'd have me not to say. Help me to be careful, Lord, to mind the Holy Ghost and to listen to your leadership. Give us what we need tonight in this service. And, Lord, accomplish what you will. We'll thank you for it in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to preach tonight a simple thought in verse number 41. Take away the stone. Jesus said in verse number 39, take ye away the stone. We're looking at the Creator God who is standing in human flesh, who splashed the stars through the sky, made the universe, shaped the mountains, and poured the waters of the oceans out of the palm of his hand. We're talking about the one who instructed Moses, who stood and stretched God forth over the Red Sea, and it parted hither and thither and went across on dry land. Could not this one have moved the stone? You see, moving the stone was a object in the way of their seeing the glory of God. But behind that stone lay that which they did not want to see. Not only did it lay there that they did not want to see, it lay there which they wanted no one else to see. Martha said, behind that stone is a stench. There was a stench behind the stone. Jesus said, ye take away the stone. Take ye the stone away. Do you want to see the glory of God? Do you want to see the glory of God? Then you take that stone away. He did not ask the crowd to take the stone away. He asked Mary and Martha to take the stone away. He said, ye take the stone away. One of the problems in our life many times, we're not willing to move the stone that's obstructing God from working a miracle in our lives. You see, the stone sometimes gets placed in the place to cover what is bothering them, to hide hindered our faith, to hide what has stopped the glory of God from manifesting itself in our lives. Jesus said, ye take away the stone. Sometimes the stone may be a stone of just accepting the reality of where we are. Outside was the wind and the breeze was blowing, and the people were there who comforted them. Outside possibly was the fragrance of flowers. Maybe the trees that grew along the side of the hillside. Maybe also there was the comforting fragrance of others who had hugged them and embraced them and given them comforting words. But now, to open this tomb was to reopen the wound that had so much cut their hearts. To look inside and see one whom they loved, that now the situation was far worse in 4 days than it was when they first sent for Jesus. You see, they sent for Jesus while Lazarus was alive. They sent for Jesus while he was breathing. They sent for Jesus while he had ability to maybe communicate with them and also to others who was around. But now, not only is he dead, but he's been dead 4 days. There comes a time in our lives sometimes when problems or situations or circumstances get to such a place in our life, the only way we can deal with them is to put a stone over the front. And when we do, we pretend that it's over with and nothing now can be done. But when we do that, we many times block the entrance of God working a miracle. Amen. If we're going to experience the glory of God, then we're going to have to move the stone that we've placed in the way. If we're not willing to move the stone, God is not going to move the stone for us. You see, we've come to a day and age, we've got Christians that have adapted ways in their life or have had things happen to them that they're not willing to deal with, and their attitude is, if the Lord does not come and deal with me until I cannot bear it any longer, then I'll not do anything about it. But there's verse in the Word of God like, let us cleanse ourselves. The Bible says, purify your hands, you sinners. The Lord says, let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We want to see God work miracles, but oftentimes we're not willing to step into the place of the miracle that God wants to work. When the meal barrel only had one handful of meal, God said, you give the handful away first. Then you'll see God take care of you. Amen. When there was no way to pay the debt and two sons were about to be sold into slavery, the Lord instructed her and her sons, you go to every house and borrow every vessel. It's difficult for the preacher's wife to be knocking on the door and the preacher to be knocking on the door and said, borrow some vessels. What do you need vessels? Well, we're in real trouble, indebtedness. We've got to have help. And the man of God said, we've got to borrow vessels. And he said, borrow not a few, but borrow every one that you can borrow. Sometimes we're not willing to roll the stone away in our life and expose really how things are. It's easier sometimes to just deal with the issue behind the stone and go on and never expose the circumstances. Are you listening? God steps on the scene, and the Lord, who is the creator of all, he said, I am the resurrection and life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Outside of Jesus, there is no life. They said, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. But we know that whatever you ask of God, it'll be given you. He said, do you want to see the glory of God? Then move the stone. You take the stone away. You say to take the stone away, expose the condition that Lazarus really is in. It's not going to be pleasant to take the stone away. I do not believe God sent perfume into the cave before the stone was taken away. I believe the Lord allowed the stench to come out of the cave just like they expected it to when the stone was removed from the entrance. You see, oftentimes we want God to refresh our life. We have muddied or we have murkied or we have messed with in a way God's not pleased with, and we want God to take away all the discomfort. We want God to take all away before we ever deal with the issue. And the Lord said, you want to see the glory of God? Then take away the stone. You say, preacher, what are you to believe that happened if they had not removed the stone? I believe Jesus walked away. And Lazarus was still being the same spot he laid down the first time. Amen. But you see, Jesus required of them to reveal the real condition that was breaking their heart. Amen. There's no doubt the stone was sealed, as was the custom of the Jew. No doubt they either sealed it with mortar or mud and possibly used other ingredients like wax to seal the air completely out before they even put the mud and the mortar around the hole. Amen. They'd done such a good job that they were there, and none of the results of his death could be literally seen or recognized. All of us have become real professional working with that stone. How many times has someone with stubbornness or rebellion or worldliness or something has gotten in their life has need to just cover it up? Judas become a professional at covering him. I mentioned David last night, who David stepped out of every character of what he was, stepped out of every character of a man who should love God and did love God, stepped out of every character as the sweet psalmist David, and he took the life of Uriah. He already had committed adultery. Now he's trying to cover up his wickedness. And yet, from that time, it's possibly 2 years or longer that David hasn't dealt with. How is it that we who love God can come to a place that we cover the issues of our life that God and us are separated by, or the very thing that's keeping God from working a miracle in our life? And we're able to put the stone in its place and seal it so well that none of us. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time, we've got him put away. We've sealed it up. We've blocked the entrance to the cave. By this time, it's all put back. It's all pushed aside. It's all taken care of. If you'd have been here then, it would have been different. But right now, we've got it all fixed. And Lord, by this time, he's thinking. It's even worse now. If we reopen this thing, Lord, if we take this stone away, it'll be worse than when we put Lazarus in there. It'll be worse than when we recognize that Lazarus to live. It'll be worse than when Lazarus lay there sick. It'll be worse than everything if we have to open this up again, Lord.
Good, preacher.
But if you want to see the glory of God, did not I say to you, do you not want to see the glory of God? If you want to see the glory of God, ye take the stone away. You see, we're not wanting sometimes to bring ourselves before an altar of God and there before him our heart, our mind, or our life, our family, or whatever need there might be. We're not willing to bear it out before the Lord exactly like it is. The question is, do you want to go on living, experiencing life through your power, your ability, your accomplishment, your strength, or do you want to see the glory of God? Do you want this incident in your life, Martha and Mary, to go on as it is? Do you want to hang around a few days and then just pass off the scene and you occasionally wander out to where the stone is and think about what it used to be and what it could have been if God had taken care of it? Or do you want to see the glory of God? Do you want to carry this burden? Do you want to bear this heartbreak? Do you want to go on in life in your own interest? Or do you want to see God step into your life and work a miracle? The Bible says when they said to them, do you want to see the glory of God? Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone. Are you listening? The stone exposed not only the condition Lazarus is in, but the very things that had broken their heart was now going to be brought to them in a stronger way than what it was just a few minutes ago. How many times have we seen folks that come to an altar and went back and come to an altar and went back and come to an altar and went back because they never would clearly take the stone away? Amen. Remove the stone that has placed in the place that's hiding the very things God wants to take care of. John wrote a very simple statement in 1 John, if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It reminds me, and I don't want to be comical, but I want to tell you the seriousness. It's like a lady who was at the altar weeping, and a pastor come down and knelt forward and asked her what her problem was. She said, "Pastor, I exaggerate, and I cause problems with daughter-in-laws, and we have such a where our family's a mess, and I need God to help me with that." The pastor began to pray and said, "Oh God, help this dear saint of God to realize the damage lying does and being a liar." And she stopped. He said, "Preacher, you understand that problem? I understand you're a liar, and deal with your lying. You're never going to get any help from God." Take the stone away, remove the stone, expose the situation for as it is, show forth what has really torn your heart apart, reveal to God the need that's there, and let it be seen and openly acknowledged and say, "God, here I am." The stone allowed the tomb to stay dark. No light could enter in. The stone allows the circumstances of our life many times to stay dark. If it's dark, it's not seen. If it's dark, it's not noticed. If it's dark, no one can tell. If it's dark, I can just leave it like it is. But that will keep you from seeing the glory of God. How many times have we seen families, individuals, whole churches just put a stone over and go on? But God says to them, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Do we want the meal barrel to continue to feed us? Are we interested in seeing God do what no one else can do? Me and Brother Henderson was talking this morning about the lady with the issue of blood. God knew all about her need. But she had to press. She had to make her way through the crowd. She determined in her heart, "I'm going to touch the hem of his garment." No doubt she crawled between the legs. She didn't say touch his shoulder. You know why I believe she said touch the hem of his garment? To get through the thronging crowd, she is going to have to crawl on her hands and knees. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, whose daughter is possessed of a devil, she didn't say she has a learning disability. She didn't say that my daughter has problems at school, or my daughter, she's got obedience problems. She comes straight to the family. "My daughter hath a devil." Take the stone away. When the stone is removed, the Lord can get the glory. What we want God to do is step in the shadow of our life, secretly, unnoticed, and remove the thorn and remove the problem, and no one's ever to know. No one's to ever know that we have lived in defeat. No one's to ever know that we've wrestled with discouragement. No one's to ever know we've battled Satan in one area or another. But I say to you, Jesus said to them, he says, ye take away the stone. Over and over, come to the Lord and had to acknowledge the condition they were in and make known the problems that they faced. And before the situation could be solved, the Lord required something of them. How would we felt when the Lord would step in and tell us to remove everything we put our trust in? The Midians have circled around the people of God, and the man of God has gone before the Lord. Gideon has asked for assistance, and 30-some thousand people show up to help him. 31,000 plus odd individuals is there to help him. The Lord said, you want to see me do something? He said, there's too many here. Send them back. Before he got done, he sent back 31,000 and some hundred men. Only 300 men left. Oftentimes we do make a way to take care of ourselves. Gideon no doubt slept out in the night, maybe took his knife and cut down enough wheat and bundled it together. He got back into the city walls and through the gate and climbed down in the wine press and beat the seed out of the wheat that he had gathered to feed his family. He was going to do it some way. Oftentimes we figure a way. Secretly go about what we're doing, we figure out a way. But the Lord said to Mary and Martha, ye take the stone away. But Lord, if we take away the stone, there'd be an awful stench rolled out in the air. Our brother's been there 4 days. In that hot climate, he's been there 4 days. But now he stinketh, no doubt that enclosed in his wrapping, spices and other things to embalm him. But now they know he's in the period of time when his body is corrupt. They were going to expose a situation that they could absolutely do nothing about themselves. To roll the stone away left them 100% helpless. As long as the stone was there, there was a barrier between them and their brother that was dead. Smell him, they did not see him. They had secluded him by that stone. To take that stone away exposed everything that had broke their heart and left them 100% helpless. To gaze into that tomb and see Lazarus wrapped and stench rolling out of the atmosphere of that tomb left them 100% helpless. We like to have one little string left to pull. We like one little string. Lord, I'm trusting you, but I've got this one little string just in case. Just in case. You don't come through. I'll be able to do this. But by God requiring them to roll the stone away, it left them 100% helpless. They knew there was not one thing they could do to help themselves. When we come to a place we're willing to trust everything we are and everything will ever be in the arms of the Son of God, he can step forth and do something that is miraculous. Are you listening? Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. Take ye the stone away. Lord, we know I ask of God, he giveth thee. Take the stone away. Lord, by this time he stinketh. Do you not understand our situation is helpless? Do you not understand that he's laid there 4 days? It's past time. By this time, there's nothing anybody can do. Do you want to see the glory of God? Is the situation you've carried for years? There's things Christians have carried for years and never have been willing to bear them before God and leave themselves vulnerable and helpless unless God stepped in and worked a miracle. To take the stone away, was the only way God was willing to step in to do the supernatural. They had to come to a conclusion. Do we stand here helpless and walk away with the same burden we walked up here with? Or do we obey and trust God and take the stone away? What a decision point they come to. As they walked to that place where Lazarus laid, they had no idea what was about to happen. I've been in services. I've been to the house of God. I had no idea that God was going to put his finger on that in my life, that service. But in that service, the Holy Ghost walked down where I was and put his finger right on the spot in my life. And he said, deal with this. Take the stone away. They did not have a clue when they walked up that mountain. Maybe thinking that Lazarus would just maybe, if God was going to work a miracle, that he would walk right through the rock. Maybe they thought he'd come out with the finest clothes on. Jesus never even took the grave clothes off of him. But being in the house of God is the most important place we can be. The psalmist said, I was slipping. I was almost gone. He said, I had thoughts that I would be ashamed to embarrass my congregational people with. I couldn't even tell what I was thinking. I couldn't even let anybody know what was going on. But I went to the sanctuary, to the house of God, and there God dealt with me. He dealt with my issue. He showed me how foolish I was, how brutish I thought. He showed me that he lifted me by his own right hand, that he was the reason I had not already collapsed. He showed me the end of that man who does not trust the Lord. He showed me that man, his life is like a dream. And everything will be gone. But one day we'll awake and we'll have everything that he promised us. Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. How would you like to leave this service tonight with victory in an area that you have even unwilling to deal with? Victory in the area of your life that you have not even been willing to tell God verbally, this is my problem. To get victory in an area that no one knows about but you. And it's a defeat in your life. But tonight, God is willing to show you the glory of God. If you'll take the stone away. I'm not saying you come to me asking for a confession. Me, I'm not asking you to do anything with me. You're dealing with the Lord and the Lord's dealing with you. I'm asking us tonight as a people, as a church, are we willing to take away whatever stone is laid in the way that God can show us the glory of God? To take away the stone left them totally in the natural man. They had no potion, no magic trick, no string to pull, no person to lean on. There was no bank to get a loan from that would bring Lazarus out of the dead. There was no credit card they could fall back on. There was no neighbor that they could go to and help me out of this strait. I'm in a problem. To take away the stone left them in every sense. God has to do something for me now. That's where God wants us to get. My flesh never wants to be there. I always want a spare tire. I always want a booster battery. If the motor don't crank, let's boost it. I always want a can of gas. If the tank's empty, I just get out and pour that extra 5 gallon I got in there. We always want a way out. But God will press us into a place there is no way out. And he says, take the stone away. You take the stone away. You want to see me do something? Then take the stone away. If we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When we're willing to come to the Lord and bear our heart before a holy God and say, Lord, this is what's keeping me from worshiping. This is what's keeping my heart from being full and the glory of God flooding my soul. Lord, this is what's hindering me. This is where I'm at. And I want you to know I'm opening it up before you. This is my defeat. This is my problem. To take away that stone showed everything that had tore that family apart. But Jesus said, do you want to serve God? Then ye take the stone away. The Creator God stood there in human flesh and said, ye take the stone away. Oh, whatever for us to get out of our pew, there's been times for me to get out of my pew and make it to this place. Took a lot of effort. For me to pry myself from that pew and make it to that point and deal with that issue that God Almighty had brought to my heart, it took a lot of effort. I'd have rather went out and pushed my car home. But he said, do you want to see God? Do you want to see me do what no one could do for you? Do you want me to do something I've done for several days? Is not this what you wanted when you sent for me? Then roll the stone away. It's going to require them to come to a place of absolute trust and confidence in the Son of God. There's some things we come in our life, we have to come to the place if God is God and His Word is true, then the response. The disciples, the man brought his son who was possessed of a devil. The disciples could do nothing. Jesus showed up and he said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, help. Jesus said, if you believe, if you have faith, it's you, not me, that's hindering the problem. There's no question what I can do. The question is what you will let me do.
Amen.
The Bible said he went to his hometown and he could do many miracles. He could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. He says, Mary and Martha, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. The service is not in the hand of your pastor. The service is not in the hand of me. And many times, if something doesn't go the way we expect, We almost blame the Holy Ghost when the service is over. But I tell you who the hand of the service is in. It's in us. It's in every one of us. Do you want to see the glory of God? Last night was a very solemn service. But I can tell you, as this service has went on tonight, it has become very solemn and very serious. If thou shalt see the glory of God, ye take away that stone. The Bible said, then they took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He can take away the problems. He can lift us out of the pits. But he's going to require us to move the stone and come honestly before him. You say, preacher, what was accomplished? Lazarus came out of that grave alive. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus come out. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And all the heartbreak and all the brokenness of that family was healed that day because they took the stone away. You may be sitting here tonight lost and you're hiding the need. Run to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm removing the stone. I'm uncapping the situation. I'm taking the lid off of it. And I will be honest with you. And I'm wanting you to work a miracle in my life. I'm wanting you to change me. I want you to come to my rescue. I'm taking away all the cover-up, Lord. I'm not going to leave anything to keep you from helping me. I want you to know I'm going to be honest. I'm going to deal with this situation. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's an absolute promise. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. God has opened the gates of glory to us. But we'll have to take the stone away. It's tough, it's hard, it's difficult. I wouldn't lie to you. It was not an easy thing for Mary and Martha to take the bar, the tool, and begin to dig away at the mortar and unseal the capping of that tomb. But the Bible said then they took the stone away. Do we want to see the glory of God tonight? Then let's yield to God and move whatever the stone might be. I'm not even asking you to tell me about it. But I'm telling you tonight, we serve a God that can walk down the aisles of this building and through the pews of this building. And we can leave here tonight never to be as we are again. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, as best I know, I've delivered my soul. I've preached your word. I sense a seriousness, oh God. Let no one, Lord, mistake that you want to help them tonight. Lord, you know all things. The eyes of the Lord in every place. Lord, you miss nothing. You laid the message on my heart, Lord. Please have your will now in the invitation. May the Holy Ghost have his will in the service. There might be a precious soul needing to be saved from hell tonight. God, have your will. We'll thank you for what you do. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll ask the pianist if she will to come and just play for us. If you're sitting here and you don't feel liberty to play, you let the music stay. We want to mind the Holy Ghost tonight. I sense a very solemn spirit in this building tonight. And God's helping and wanting to help. Don't miss the opportunity tonight to let God do something for you. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's not wanting to intrude into the privacy of your life to mock or make fun or ridicule you. He's wanting you to honestly deal with your life so He can do something miraculous for you. He's wanting to help you tonight. He's a great God. He's a great God. Martha and Mary, do you want to see God's glory? Do you want what you want? Do you really want what you want? Then take the stone away. Just take away the stone. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just come and say, Lord, I'm taking away the stone. I'm removing the obstacle that I've left there so long. God's able tonight to do. The Bible says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We can't even imagine what God can do in this service tonight. This invitation, I've been in services where the invitation went for hours. Not because of something the evangelist was doing, but because something the Holy Ghost of God was doing. Don't carry the stone back to the house. God's speaking. The Holy Spirit's working. Would you mind Him tonight? If you're not saved, I plead with you, come be saved. Whatever the need is tonight. I'm not trying to pick and figure out anything. I want God to have His perfect will. Take away the stone. What a small request for God to work such a mighty miracle in a family like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We could leave this building tonight with miracles in our lives and the mighty hand of God upon us. God, I want you to go home with defeat. God, I want you to have victory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. There's people who've carried bitterness to their grave. Unforgiveness. Difficulties. Division. All sorts of things. God doesn't want it to be that way. But we have to take the stone away. And say, Lord, I'll take care of this thing. I'll take the stone away. You begin to work. And God's able to work a miracle. Folks are praying. Just a moment. I'm going to turn the service over to the pastor. I've done as best I know. I've done as best I know. As good as I can figure out. I've brought the messages on my soul tonight. As this message went on, I can tell you, halfway through this message, it was not one-tenth as serious as it is right now. It got more solemn and more serious. And I believe God was touching and saying, here's the stone. Would you just move it? Let me do something. Brother Pastor, you come, mind the Lord an invitation.